1063 The Game and the Game. Is my mic on? Okay, yeah. All right. 1065 the game Nashville app. I can't hear myself. I'm turning it. We'll figure it out. I'll just talk loud enough where I can hear myself.
It is just kind of messy.
I'm just gonna jimmy with it.
Yeah, pull it out, then
sometimes stand on one leg and squint and all right, I think that's working now.
Well, you know what? You gotta kinda like just pull it halfway out and then I guarantee you.
I can hear in one ear. We'll take it. Caroline Willie, do you
One ear is better than no ears.
Exactly. I'll take as much as I can get. Happy Friday. D-Mace is here. Willie Donick joins us. Are you in Denver, Willie?
I am in Denver.
The West Coast tour of Willie Donick.
Yes, and that is not an easy late night flight to make.
I'm sure
you
it's
lose
not.
An hour. You lose an hour in the time zone, and the Denver airport is really not in Denver. It might as well be in Wyoming. It's a long, long ride from the Denver airport to the Denver
or
downtown.
Yeah. Well. Hey.
But we made it.
Add insult to injury.
See, you know? Yeah. Right. Every good thing must come to an end.
Are you satisfied, Adam? Are you satisfied?
Adam,
I'm blaming it on you, Adam, from Portland. Are you satisfied? You got exactly what you wanted. The Preds lost. They got their ass kicked because of you, Adam. Because of you. Now don't bring that trash back to our radio station talking about you want them to lose. Adam, again. All right, no more losses, okay, Adam? No more. Adam, I'm just playing with you. But no, I'm blaming it on you, Adam.
All right, just Preds lost. For some context, our dear friend Adam from Portland called into the show yesterday, sent D-Mace into an absolute tizzy. This is what Adam from Portland had to say.
Hey, Caroline. So here's my problem, and I don't want you to think that I'm – like, I've enjoyed every minute of this streak. But what I would say is a month and a half ago, the coach was coming out and going – these guys need to stop talking about vacation. Like, team still exists. Like, they're winning. They're hot. We're out in that dopamine cloud. Like, everything's good. But I just want to see them lose. Like, I want to see what you do after you lose. Because I feel like we're riding a hot streak right now. But something's going to happen. Like, are you going to drop two or three in a row? Is it going to be at the wrong time? So, I just want to see them lose. And I love them. This is a fun team to watch. It's the funnest team I've seen in, like, 6 years. But I've got to see them lose to see if it's real.
Well, you know, anybody that loves Adam, just walk up to him and say, thanks, pal.
Well, if Adam could start saying, I just want the Preds to win the Stanley Cup, because clearly whenever Adam puts something out into the atmosphere, it happens. Preds fall 8-4 last night in Arizona. They got up to a 2-0 lead, and I'm thinking to myself, my goodness, these Preds, look at them. Look at this Predators team that cannot lose and has never lost. And then it just got really ugly from there. The defense was not good. The goaltending was not very good. Overall, just didn't get the Ray game. They were off. Something wasn't clicking. Something wasn't gelling. And, Willie, you talked about this yesterday. That's a tough building to win in. It's a tough building to play in. It's a tough building to win in. So the Predators' point streak ends at 18 games. They fall 8-4 last night to the Arizona Coyotes. But I will say this.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, they lost. They're still a good team. It wasn't their night. The Coyotes was just a more aggressive, they were just a better team last night. And it's okay, because, it was fun while it lasted in regards to the win streak or the point streak. But it's still fun, even though it has ended, because this is a damn good Predators team. So, it's not the end of the world. Yes, Adam, you got what you wanted. They lost. Now you can relax. But this is a game that you will see throughout the course of, a season. Games where teams play well, but on that particular night, or they're good teams, but on that particular night, they just don't play well. And whether it was the arena they were in,
They cannot beat the Coyotes. I don't know what it is.
The
Oilers and the Coyotes.
You know what, Willie? I'm sitting there and I'm watching a game. And I really enjoy watching the game from this aspect because they gave me a different angle that I have not seen on other telecast. Because it's a different arena. They don't have all the angles that, newer arenas have. But the angle that they were showing it from at times, I enjoyed it because they showed it from like a aerial view where I can see like everything and how it's moving, but it was sort of far enough back that you can see the play developing. And a lot of times you can't see that if you're watching it from a national standpoint, or even, you know, if it's at a different arena, a more up-to-date arena. You can't see some of those things that you were able to see last night. That's
more
just me.
More up-to-date arena is a nice way of saying it.
Exactly. But I enjoyed that part. I enjoyed it because you saw plays actually forming as they were going down the ice.
It's
and
intimate.
A lot of times you don't get a chance to see that. But other than that, I didn't enjoy anything else in that game. I did.
I don't think we did either. But, you know, it is a very unique venue. And long-term, not in a good way. You can't have 4,600 seats and make it work financially. The Players Association is starting to really howl about that whole situation because for it to get better, there's still a long way from being able to enter into a new building. So what happens to the Coyotes at the end of the season is very much up for grabs. They could be somewhere else next year. It would not surprise me at all. If you listen to what Elliot has been saying there, that's going to get hairy after the season. They need a lot of good news. But that being said, they had a great crowd there last night. You know how it is. You go to a high school basketball game at a small gym, if it's totally packed and it's loud, it seems like there's an enormous crowd, and that's kind of how it was last night. They have a couple of really good young dynamic players who kind of got loose last night and had good games. Confidence was up, and they just ran away with the game. And as you mentioned, it was not UC Soros' best night, and that was the one thing that I thought was probably the most eye-opening to me. It did not look like the UC Soros we've been seeing for his last 14 games. He just wasn't making the key save at the key time. And you have to credit the Coyotes for their part in that. And so now we get to answer really Adam's question is, okay, now that the streak is not alive and that's not the story right now, what can they do in the last 9 games to move forward here? Because they've got an enormous test tomorrow against a great team in the Avalanche.
It's how they respond. And I think that was kind of Adam's point, and I heard Jared make this point on Robbie and Rex Road earlier, was it's not just, okay, let's see how you respond, but it's also kind of a slap-in-the-face reminder of, look, this 18-game points drink is fun and all, but you're going to have to bring it. And you have to bring your A game day in and day out, week in and week out, and it doesn't matter if it's the Colorado Avalanche or Florida Panthers or if it's the Arizona Coyotes who have had a less than impressive season, that in this league and especially in the playoffs, you're going to have to bring it. And they know that. I mean, this is a veteran team that's been around the block. They've had success and maybe some not so great success in the postseason. They know what it takes. They know what they need to do. But it's at least a reminder of maybe being that the bubble of excitement and optimism has popped a little bit. And it's okay, a reminder of that. We got to bring it because we don't really have time to sit and grovel and be upset and sad about the point streak ending. Whenever you go into the Colorado Avalanche's place, which might be the toughest place to play in the NHL. So is it sad to see the point streak end? Yes, it is. Was the 18-game point streak fun? Oh, my goodness, yes, it was. Was Tuesday fun? Mm-hmm. One of the more fun games that I have ever watched a Predators team play. But I think the most fun for this Predators team has yet to come. This team's making the playoffs.
Yeah.
They have a 99.9% chance of making the playoffs. All the question is, at this point, is seeding and who you're going to play. I heard Robbie and Joe talking this morning, and Robbie was like, look, first you got to get in the dance before you talk about matchups. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. No, you're in the dance.
Yeah, you're in it.
You're there.
They're not
in it.
They're not in the dance yet. I'm going to side with
Robbie.
They're
in the dance. Come on. Stop it.
Let me tell you what's on the horizon here. Okay. The Blues won last night. So they have 82.
A pesky little Blues team.
The Blues play the Sharks on Saturday. So that should be a win for them. Predators play the Avalanche. That's a tough game. Predators then play the Boston Bruins on Tuesday back home. Big game, tough game. The Blues have the Oilers on Monday night. That's a tough game. But if they, but this is a what if, right? If the Blues win the next two and the Predators lose the next two, that would be 90 for the Predators, 86 for the Blues, and then the Blues would play head to head with the Predators on Thursday at Bridgestone Arena. They could cut it to two, right? So in a week's time, you could go from, hey, we got this, it's 99.9 to, oh, they're within 2 points. You know, then things get, they feel a lot different, right? I don't think that's too crazy of a scenario that could happen, especially when you're coming down from the high of an 18-game point streak. What usually happens when you come off of that kind of run of success? You probably are going to fall off a little bit. At least that's what could happen. I'm not saying it's going to happen. But I'm with Robbie. I mean, you got to have – until you have the X by your name, you don't have the X. So they still have – they have to win some more games to make it.
Man. They're making
I mean,
it.
I feel good about it. I feel good about it. But
I understand.
I'm just saying that it's the
Coach
the
Willie.
Have a
Coach
very
Willie, easy I mean, schedule. I get it. Coach Willie.
The Blues have an easy schedule. They're gonna win a bunch of these games that they have left.
We don't know if they're going to win a bunch of these games.
Well, they play easy teams. They play easy teams.
I mean,
and I'm going to tell you, Arizona at Arizona is way, way different than Arizona on the road. But then there's teams like the Sharks who are really struggling to just put a competitive team out there, right? They're hard pressed to win anything. There's two matchups that the Blues have with the Sharks before the season's over, for example. Listen, they're gonna make it. They're gonna make them work for it. Is what I'm saying.
Of course they are. But listen, I'm not on the ice. I'm not coaching this team. I'm not the GM in this team. As a matter of fact, I'm not even one of the owners of this team. So you know what? I don't have to worry about that, Willie. I'm saying they're making the playoffs. Okay. You know who got to worry about that? Those guys in that locker room. And you know who knows that? Those guys in that locker room. And you know who will not let that happen? Those guys in that locker room. That's how much I believe in them. That's how good I think this team is. They've shown who they are. They're going to lose another game, I guarantee you. But they are not going to get eliminated from the playoffs, Willie. I'm just saying that, okay? I know you coach, Willie. I know you got to taper it down. I get it. I understand.
No, I'm with you, D-Mace. I'm confident. But I think, Robbie, if you're a worrywart, you can take a look at that next week and say, okay, could the Blues make that game nervous for everybody? Yes, they could, but I'd much rather be where the Predators are right now. And this is what everybody's been waiting for. What is it going to look like after they have a bad game? Is this going to send you in a different direction, or can they maintain the formula that's been so successful for them really since mid-November when you get down to it? They've been one of the best teams in the league, not just for the last 18 games, but since mid-November when they were 5-10. From that point forward, They're a good hockey team. So that's, I think, the key is stay confident, get back to it, see what it looks like tomorrow against Colorado. But this is one point I want to make that you just touched on, Caroline, a minute ago. They're not sneaking up on anybody now, right? That was it. You could tell Arizona was in that mode last night of, let's see if we can get this streak over with. We can be the team that ends the streak. And they played really inspired hockey. I've never been in that building where it was alive like that. They've got this Josh Doan story that's energized everybody there. I was surprised. I didn't think they would have that kind of atmosphere, but they do. And I think in Colorado, who lost last night to the Rangers in a shootout, I think Colorado will probably be buzzing a little bit. They're going to be saying, oh, this could be who we play in the first round. Ooh, they've beaten us a couple of times, but now we've got our new guys, right? They made three or four trades to upgrade. And they're like, oh, the Predators think they're good, huh? Well, let's flex on them. Let's give them everything we've got and see what that looks like. I think you're going to get the A game of the Avalanche tomorrow. So this is going to be a great litmus test, I think, for Nashville coming off the loss.
And you're right, Willie. But listen, bring the smoke. They want the smoke, okay, Willie? They ain't scared of the smoke, the Predators. So if Avalanche want to bring it, come on, bring it down. We are stepping on your turf, okay? Bring it. We want the smoke. That's just the way I feel.
Because they're going to be getting the smoke in the playoffs.
Exactly.
If they get the
absolutely. Right, so bring it. So bring
you
it now.
You know, Chris. You know how Chris Mason does the key to the game.
Uh-huh.
He's always looking for that. I want you to present that to him as a potential key to the game, D. Mace. I like that.
Bring the smoke. They want
bring
the smoke.
The smoke.
Yeah, they want the smoke.
Want
if you,
the smoke.
Hey, listen.
You want the smoke.
If you're that big bad team, then bring it. Because we think we're a damn good team, so bring it. We may have to face you in the playoffs, but. In saying that, Willie, and it's all tongue in cheek, I get it. Is there anything that alarmed you yesterday that may have reared its ugly head that we have not seen throughout this point streak or win streak? Is there something that happened last night that you may be a little bit concerned about?
Well, okay, this is the question I think going into Saturday. They took UC Soros out. After two periods, he didn't have a good game.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Lankinen played well in the third period. I think they were, even if UC Soros was lights out last night and won, they probably would have been thinking about Lankinen on Saturday anyway. So do they go with Lankinen on Saturday? They try to come back with Soros. I think they might come back with Lankinen tomorrow, who's seemed to have the ability to go into any barn like Florida, like Dallas, places like that, and play well. So they might do that. But I think, again, this is me, you know, worried about everything.
Mm-hmm.
I think the key is for UC Soros to bounce back and have his next couple starts be good. You hope he doesn't go into a little bit of a mini slump at a bad time because he's really been in the groove. And when he's in the groove, he's so special. It just wasn't him last night. I don't know what happened. He had a couple of weird goals go in from angles that don't normally go in on him, and then it kind of snowballed on him.
It was, unfortunately, watching that game last night, I felt flashbacks of UC Soros's kind of bottoming out that we saw earlier this season when we were asking ourselves, like, this isn't UC Soros. This isn't the UC Soros that we're accustomed to. Not that he, and I'm not saying that he is that, but I am saying I kind of got flashes of flashbacks of that because there were so many goals that went in last night that I thought that's normally a save that UC Soros would make. And that being said, Willie, do we see Kevin Lankinen in the net against the Avs?
Yeah, and like I said, I think you might have seen him anyway, even if Soros played well. So my guess is they might be leaning towards Lankinen. So I think the real question is the next start that Soros gets is what do you see? Because it was a couple of weird goals that went in, and then there was those other ones that recently, we're in trouble, it's a breakaway, or it's a two-on-one. Soros makes the key save to keep it where it is. And last night, when those opportunities jumped in, he was not, you're expecting, okay, Soros is going to stop this guy coming in on the two-on-one, and it didn't. They finished the key opportunities that they had. It just shows you in this league, as a goalie, if you're just a little bit off, you can get exploited by you know, some skilled players. Like Clayton Keller, who hails from your hometown of St. Louis, Caroline, he is an unbelievably good player that's just sitting out there playing in that market, and he has been for a number of years, and he's an awesome player. And now they've got a couple other guys they've been picking high in the first round for the last few years, and those guys are starting to come around. And if they're still young on most nights, especially away from home, they get exploited. But when they get it revved up, they're tough. And last night the Predators were off a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
The goalie was off a little bit, and all of a sudden the game got away.
And that just goes to show in this league, when you're off a little bit, they'll make you pay.
Yeah.
And I don't care who
no
it
question.
Is. And going through the text line, and I do want to get into your thoughts after we catch up with Chris Mason coming up next. There's a lot of fear and anxiety and concern going down in the text line. I saw a lot of it on Twitter last night as the game was going on. You two correct me if you think any differently. I'm not concerned. We have an 18-game sample size of the Nashville Predators playing some of the best, if not the best, hockey in the National Hockey League. The Predators were the hottest team. I would say still are the hottest team in the league, even after a loss last night. We know what this team is capable of doing. when Roman Josi is playing like he's been playing the last month to 2 months, when Philip Forsberg is playing really how he's been playing all year long, when you see Saros is playing with his A game, and you have the contributions of a Ryan O'Reilly and a Gus Nyquist and the secondary scoring from some of the younger guys, we know what this team is capable of because we've seen it. We've seen it on a consistent basis, and we saw it on a consistent basis for the span of a month and a half. Just one bad game is not going to be enough for me to all of a sudden say, man, oh man, I'm really worried about this team. I still think they're going to be an underdog in the first round of the playoffs. Like, do they make it out of the first round of the playoffs? I hope. I think that they absolutely can. But last night, to me, is not indicative of what they can achieve in the playoffs. Last night doesn't make me any less optimistic about what this team and what they can do come the postseason. Did they play well? No, they didn't. But we knew. We knew they weren't going to win out the rest of the season. I mean, a 28-game point streak, that's absurd. Yeah. That's unheard of. That's not going to happen. They're not going to win every single game from now until the end of the season, nor are they going to win every single game in the playoffs. They're going to lose some. But you got to turn around. You got to, you know, wipe it off. Get over it, wipe your tears, and move on against Colorado. It's how they respond. I'm not concerned.
Yeah, I think the important thing is a balance between the understanding that in this league, you can get stuck, right? We saw the Predators get stuck right before they went on this run for a while. You know, they had a rough 10, 11-game patch. But just to, again, emphasize the point, they are 38-16-4 since mid-November. So it goes way back before the 18-game point streak. But at the same time, you can have a stretch of, you know, 10 rough games. And that's even good teams. Think about the L.A. Kings, right, how they got stuck for a while and fired their coach. The Edmonton Oilers got stuck early in the season. They fired their coach. Everything turned out fine. But over 82 games, you could have a dip. So I'm balancing the anxiety of knowing that that could happen with the confidence that you're showing, both of you guys. And so as long as they have that mentality in that locker room, I think they're going to be fine. But I think part of being fine is, right, is understanding that you have to bring it every night to continue to move forward. You cannot sit back and say, we're good, we're in, we got this, let's just coast. Because the minute you do that, that's when you can get stuck.
WWW. Worry Wart Willie?
Yeah, that's who he is.
Coach Willie. Telling it like it is. What was that yesterday? What was the one?
Debbie Downer-Donick.
Yeah,
Debbie Downer-Donick.
Triple D.
There we go.
Debbie Downer-Donick and Worry Wart Willie. Pick your poison.
Sounds like a great couple.
Exactly. Sounds like an anxiety-ridden couple right there.
Oh, man. Y'all
need therapy.
Y'all at the doctor's office every month.
It's not a couple that I want to go on a double date with, to be honest with you.
Damn sure ain't going on a vacation with y'all.
No, I don't want to go grab drinks with that couple. No, I do not. All right, we'll catch up with Chris Mason coming up next. Is Chris Mason worried? What did C-May see last night that was obviously different from what we've seen from the Preds on this 18-game point streak? What's his concern level? What's his optimism level for this team and what they can accomplish, not just throughout the rest of the season, but into the playoffs as well? So we'll catch up with C-Mays coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
Chris Mason, and now the quick pass down the middle, breaking in, and the backhand stopped by Chris Mason. And Marlowe with a 2-on-1, a 3-on-1, and what a stop by Mason. Cheecher right in front, and what a stop on Ekman by Mason.
And goal number 3, Chris Mason.
Caroline, Willie, D. Mays. We're broadcasting from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios. And unfortunately, all good things must come to an end. And the Predators' 18-game point streak came to an end last night. They fell to the Arizona Coyotes on the road 8-4. And joining us now to break it all down is Chris Mason. C-Mace, it was a tough one last night. It's almost like, okay, we got an 18-game point streak, and you've beaten Stanley Cup contenders along the way. You've beaten Colorado. You've beaten Vegas. You've beaten Florida in their own arena. Kind of a stinker right now. But just from your perspective, what's kind of the vibe, do you think, maybe going on in the locker room, maybe the feeling of the team right now? I mean, an 18-game point streak, you've got to be feeling confident. You've got to be feeling on top of the world. But after a game last night, what's the mentality?
I think, honestly, I saw the guys after the game. It's kind of water off their back. I feel this group feels so good about their game and how they have an understanding of how they need to play to have success that it's understandable. And although it does, suck as a player, you lose that streak, it's not the big picture. I don't know this for sure, but it might be a little bit of a relief to have that over with. And, last night was a prime example of, they come out flying. I thought they were going to run away with that game, but I think they thought that too, because the first, 5-6 minutes, they were just all over the Coyotes. The Coyotes weren't even, they didn't even look like they were on the same, not even close to the same level as the Preds. But I think the Preds they thought the same thing. And then they kind of lowered the way that they were playing. Arizona responded. And then, it was back and forth. And, I think Arizona was obviously the better team probably from then on out. And, Juice didn't have his A game. He didn't have his A stuff. There's no question about that. But, it sucks to lose a streak like that. But at the same time, I just think it's better now with, the amount of games they have left than right at the end of the season, but that's just me.
Does it almost feel in the weirdest way like it could be a weight off their shoulders?
I think so. I really do. I think it's just, it becomes about that, right? It's all about the streak, and it is awesome. And, it was an amazing run, and it was something special. But I think it deflects the story and the feeling about the playoffs. And, you carry that around in every single game. It's like, okay, we're at 18, we got to go to 19, we got to 20. And then, I think it is a relief. I think as a player, it would be, you never want to lose a game. There's no doubt about it. But once it's over, then you don't have to talk about it anymore, because that's all we've talked about, because it has been so fun and it's been, a special time, I think, especially with the way the seasons went and the way it's kind of progressed and come along. But now you can shift your focus, and you don't have to talk about that streak anymore. You can talk about, getting and making sure you secure your playoff spot for one, because that's not written in stone yet. There's a different focus now. And then, it's about who you're going to play. There's still so many different teams they could play once they get in the playoffs, but get their game back and then just see if, make sure that was a one-off, because Colorado is going to be, this is going to be a tough game tomorrow. So they've got to be ready for this. And I'm interested to see how they respond after losing that game.
And I think we all are, Chris Mays, even, Predator fans are wondering how this team will bounce back. We had a caller call in yesterday, Adam. He was hoping that the Predators lose because he wanted to see how they bounce back after a loss. And I'm sure there are a facet of Pred fans that looked at that game last night and thought, okay, finally, we got that over with. Now we can stop concentrating on that and look forward to concentrate on, getting into the playoffs and make some noise in the playoffs. But put me in the headspace of a goalie. After a situation like that, when you've been playing so well throughout the second half of the season, and then you have a game like that with a team that, isn't going anywhere, but, you come out, you go up 2 goals early, and then all of a sudden it's like this tidal wave of goals just coming. What is going through a goalie's mind when that happens?
Oh, it's so frustrating, and you can just tell. Like, it's one of those times you show up and you've been feeling so good, and then that night you don't have it. You don't have, your A stuff, and I'm not going to make excuses for Juice at all, but sometimes when you go play in an arena like that, they've always had trouble in Arizona, whether it's that arena or the one out in Glendale. But it doesn't feel like an NHL game. The crowd is great there, actually. But, it's an arena that holds 5,000 people. It seems like, every time you go there, it's like an exhibition game. And I don't know. You just don't, for whatever reason, that arena and that team there is giving them trouble. But I think Juice, I always say this too, and Pekka, that the best guys in the world are really good at putting a performance like that behind them and then bouncing back and bringing their A game. And I think Juice has shown over his career that's one of the things he excels in, is being able to not let one bad performance turn into, two or three or four. But, this season there's been some challenges in that regard. It's been very up and down, but I think that, now that he's kind of got his, play going and he's been awesome lately, I think that'll just be, along with the team, just a one-off for him. But, it sucks. You let in goals you haven't let in a long time. But again, you just have to chalk it up to it. It's one of those nights. It happens to everybody. You can't have your best game every single night. I don't care who you are.
Absolutely. We're talking with Chris Mason, one half of the broadcasting team for the Nashville Predators. What happened in that second period? Because it seems like that's when they lost the game, that second period. The Coyotes had, 6 more shots at goal than the Predators. But what did you see in that second period that just basically lost the game for the Predators?
Yeah, I think it was, they got that penalty that too many men called against them. It was a tough call. And Arizona scored, and that building just went crazy. And I just think they took all the momentum. And it was just, the Predators weren't able to recover from that. And I think, Arizona were just, they're feeding off their crowd. They're feeding off of their, storylines. Their season's almost over. So, it sucks. You got to find something to play for. You're not playing for playoffs. You're playing for those kind of moments. They had Josh Doan get called up the other night. He's a son of one of the, a legend of the Arizona Phoenix Coyote era. And, he scores 2 goals in his first game. He gets, 2 assists last game. He's getting breakaways, getting chances, playing really well. And they've got a lot of good young players. And I think for the first time in a long time, in my opinion, I think that fan base really has something to be excited about. And I just think that they, they got the momentum and they just didn't give it back. They played really well. They played hard. You could tell they really wanted to. That was their Stanley Cup, if you will. You're going to knock off the Predators, the hottest team in the NHL. And I just think they, at the end of the day, they wanted to win that game a little bit more than the Predators, and I think it showed.
And I heard you guys mentioning that, you and Willie, on air about, Coyotes, they don't have anything to play for, but, these last, 10 games or whatnot, they get an opportunity to knock teams off that could be going to the playoffs or are going to the playoffs. So that's sort of their mission, just to chip away at teams. We know we're not going anywhere, but we want to knock these teams off in our, that are in our path toward the end of the season. They're going to the playoffs, but for us, it's a feather in our cap to say we beat the Nashville Predators.
Exactly. And you got young players trying to prove themselves. They're trying to, make an impression on the coaching staff and, the general manager for next season, say, hey, this kid can play this. We're going to have to look at him and, slot him in or project him in this spot. We don't have to address this in free agency because, he's proving that he can play, at this level. So there's those things to play for too. And I think when you're getting up for a game, you're exactly right, D-Mace. Like, you're in the room, you're not playing for playoffs. You're playing for, hey, let's beat these guys. Let's rain on their parade, wreck their, everyone's talking about Nashville, let's go out and destroy their fun or whatever. And that's exactly what they did. So you got to give them credit. They played really good. Like, it wasn't just a fluke. It wasn't just a bad game by the Predators. The Coyotes played really well.
Talking to Chris Mason, and Mesa, looking at a couple of developments in these last couple of days, Dallas has won 6 in a row, and they've taken the overall lead in the West at 101 points. The Jets have had a little bit of a sag here. They've gone 4-5-1 in their last 10 games. And then I'm looking, all of a sudden, I had not considered this, but Edmonton looks like they're starting to get their game back, which is very scary. Right. And I'm looking at them and Vancouver. Edmonton is 6 points behind them, but they've got 2 games in hand. Is it possible that Edmonton could catch Vancouver? And we've been looking at this all along. Maybe we consider Edmonton as a possible first round opponent for the Predators.
Well, it's crazy. My head just exploded listening to you dissect even more scenarios than there were before. It's crazy. You're right, though. It's nuts. And, you know, you look at the possibility of the Predators catching Winnipeg, you know, and sliding into the third spot in the Central, then that would mean they would either play Colorado or Dallas, however that ends up, and go in that route instead of, you know, depending on the – if they – end up playing a Pacific team or if they end up playing a team in the Central with one of the wild card spots. It's just, there's just too many scenarios to even, you know, contemplate right now. But pretty much any of those teams you mentioned, the Predators could play in the first round. So it's crazy.
Yeah. So I'm now mentally taking a look at Edmonton to see what could happen. And the Predators could use Edmonton's help. They play St. Louis on Monday. And every game that St. Louis loses will give me a little bit more of relief. Because until you have that X, when you get that X next to your name, then you can really have fun with the possibilities. But I think the team may still knows that they've got to make sure they stay on it, because the next couple opponents in Colorado and Boston, they face those top level teams, which they've been able to beat here recently. But they're going to have to, they have no time to sort of wallow in this thing. So let's start with Colorado, because Colorado at home is definitely a different team than Colorado on the road.
Yeah, they're an absolute powerhouse. You know, if you look at their home record and what Nathan MacKinnon does and whatever, I don't know if it's the altitude or just they play well in that arena. They are a different team. They can just absolutely swarm you. You know, they're fast. They attack like no other, I feel, as a team. Obviously, you know, Edmonton, they've got Connor McDavid, Draisaitl, all those types of players. But just the way that you know, Colorado does it, Cale Makar and Devin Taves in the back end. And they've just, for whatever reason, you know, just it's almost like they seem invincible at home. They lost in a shootout their last game. So I'm very interested to see how, you know, they respond. Nathan MacKinnon had a 35-point home game streak, which is only five away from the record set by Wayne Gretzky. And, you know, then that's the level of play. And we're looking at the list of players on that list. And it was like Mario Lemieux, Wayne Gretzky, in a completely different era. So Nathan MacKinnon is an absolute hound. He's a dog. He just will attack. And it seems like even more, it seems like he's got even more of a super Colorado. So I think, you know, with this being a potential first round team, I think this is a big test. And I think the Predators will, you know, recognize the importance of that game. I think they maybe dipped a little bit in terms of keeping their level of intensity and their junkyard dog mentality throughout that game against the Coyotes, just given the opponent, the situation. I don't think they will. I think they'll get that back against the Avalanche, and then it should turn into a pretty good hockey game, but we'll see. And I'll be interested to see. I think it's a possible game. You could maybe see Lankinen. I think it makes sense for that. Give Saros, you know, an extra game, get that needed rest. And Lankinen's been playing well in those situations too. So it is possible that they could go back to Lankinen. He played well in the third period, but we'll see. I expect a bounce back effort by the Preds.
Man, Lankinen really does just get thrown out to the wolves sometimes, doesn't he? And he always plays well in that kind of situation. But it's like, oh, Stanley Cup contender, big game on the road, toughest place to play in the NHL. Get out there, Kevin. Give us your best.
Oh, yeah. Here you go, Kevin. Have fun. No, but you're right, though. He has done well, and that's just a major compliment to him. And I've been in that role where, you know, you don't play for a couple weeks or whatever the situation is, and all of a sudden, you know, you're getting, oh, my God, you're getting either the second game against the, you know, the defending Stanley Cup champion or whatever it is, and it is tough. And I find, like, when I was in that situation, and most guys – you get a lot of inconsistencies. You're going to get some games where, you know, the goalie's going to stand on his head and play, you know, unbelievable like Lankinen has. But most of the time, you know, you're going to get those stinkers or those, you know, kind of 50-50 in those situations. And Lankinen has been, he's been good every time. He's answered the bell. And it's really impressive. And it's not easy to be consistent the way that he has in those situations. He's a major factor of the Preds' success here and why they're, you know, currently holding down a playoff spot. So good on him.
100%. C-Mace, appreciate your time as always. Have a good call this weekend and safe travels back to Nashville.
All right. Thank you, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you next week. Chris Mason, he's the best. Appreciate his time and appreciate him for stopping by. We've got a bunch of thoughts in our text line, so we are right to you coming up next. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get in on that conversation. And you can tune in to 102.5 and 106.3 The Game this Sunday for coverage of the Toyota Owners 400. Coverage will begin at 5 p.m. with the race starting at 6 p.m. Coverage also available on the 102.5 and 106.3 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays. Tune in to 102.5 and 106.3 The Game this weekend for NCAA tournament coverage brought to you by Toyota. Ready, set, go get your Toyota today at toyota.com. We'll get to Ask D. Mays in less than 1 hour. So get those calls and texts in for D. Mays. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Best question for D. Mays is going to win a pretty nice prize, and we will reveal that next hour. So get those questions in. But first, we're going to get to your thoughts on the Predators. Preds' 18-game point streak comes to a close after an 8-4 loss last night in Arizona. It was not pretty, but we are right to your reaction. And our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Indy Ben Texan, our dear friend Indy Ben. Talk about Indy Debbie Ben. Downer Donick. My goodness, Debbie Downer, Indy Ben. He texts in, says, that's the problem with the local media and the fan base. You're too overconfident and cocky or whatever you want to call it. Until you actually win the whole thing, you can't be that way. So let's say, let's fast forward. If the Predators are in the Western Conference Final, I cannot be excited about it because they have to hoist the Stanley Cup trophy before I can be excited and confident and encouraged about this team? Yeah, no, no thanks. The Predators just went on an unprecedented run. Mm-hmm. It looked pretty damn good in the process. I think it's fair to be encouraged. Overconfident and cocky? I don't think we're there yet. Encouraged? Confident? Absolutely. And you should be. The fan base should be.
Yeah, I mean, look at the team. Look at what they've been able to do the second half of the season. And it's not a fluke. This is a good team. I'm just confident in the team that they are going to make the playoffs. And when they get in the playoffs, they have just as good a shot as anybody else to win the Stanley Cup, okay? Now, there may be some teams in there that may be a little bit better than them, but, you know, man to man. But my thing is, this team has been playing well, and they are one of the better teams in the National Hockey League mm-hmm. at this point. So, yes, I'm damn confident, and I'm sure that team is confident. It's not cockiness. It's not arrogance. It's confidence. You can be confident and still go out there and do what you need to do. I can get on the radio and be confident in the Nashville Predators, but knowing also it's still a hard road ahead of them. It's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. It's sports, and it's seven-game series once you get in the playoffs. So
playoffs are tough.
I am highly confident that this team will get in the playoffs, and if they don't pay attention, whoever they're playing, if they don't pay attention, they may end up getting beat by the Nashville Predators as well. I'm confident in that. It's not arrogance. It's just confidence.
Tommy Tech.
Just got to get through. Just got to get through yeah. this next group and get in. And, yeah. and then we'll see. But I think the balance of having been through it before, not getting overconfident, not getting too worrywart, and you guys are helping me, by the way, with my therapy. Worry, Willie.
That's what we're here for, Willie.
I'm getting more confident as the show's going on, okay? I worried a little bit too much early in the show. I'm getting the confidence back.
Yes, Denise, we did it.
Exactly. But I don't understand, like, people, just because we're confident and we can be arrogant and brass and whatever, mm-hmm. that doesn't mean that's how the team feels. They understand. They are the ones that are playing.
Right.
They understand.
You gotta trust that leadership
exactly.
group.
Yeah. I trust the leadership group. That's why I can be their hype man. Mm-hmm. You can be their hype girl. They're going to go do what they want, what they have to do, but we can be the ones hyping them up. We can do that because we're not playing.
And I think the important thing is it's not just confidence out of nothing or nowhere.
Exactly.
It's not just, yay, go team. They're going to win the championship. No, that's not what it is. It's confidence based off of what we've seen from this team. Tommy Texan says, what scares me with the Preds is that Arizona looked so much faster, and I fear that we will get put out of the playoffs with speed. Our guys looked gassed last night, and the anger showed. They did look gassed, I would say. They looked off. Something just wasn't mm-hmm. clicking. But I think maybe we should have anticipated that a little bit more. A super emotional win on Tuesday night, long road trip. I'm sure they are gassed. Now, in the playoffs, you don't always get afforded a night mm-hmm. to just be gassed, to just have one night off of your game. But I would agree that they looked that way. Am I going to be overly concerned about that? No, I'm not.
Yeah, I agree. They did not have the sharpness and the quickness, that relentless thing that has carried them. Mm-hmm. And I will use the line, right, that line that we've attempted to have a nickname for. When that line is just a step slow, mm-hmm. as I think they were last night, they become a little more ordinary, right? When they have the full throttle edge to their game, they become a force. And, you know, that's just one example, I think, of where maybe they didn't quite have the quicks last night. But once again, you do have to credit the other team, right? The Coyotes, they do have some – Clayton Keller is about as quick as you're going to find as a player out there. So on a night where all those factors you mentioned probably – were in there somewhere, they didn't have their A game. So you have to find the A game going to the next game. Or you got to find a way to win when you don't have your A game. That's a game where maybe your goalie could bail you out if you don't have the A game. There's a lot of ways to win. But no doubt, they didn't have quite the zip last night. But I think they'll get that back.
And they didn't have the zip. And Saros didn't have the zip either. It was the perfect storm of not being on your A game. It was the perfect storm of having a clunker like we saw last night. How do you regroup against Colorado? That's going to be the big question. 615-737-1025 is that phone number. We'll get into your questions for D-Mace in 30 minutes. But coming up next, I want to switch to the Titan side of things because The Athletic put out a regrade of the 2023 draft. This is one thing that drives me crazy, is grades the day after the first round of the draft. Like, how in the world do you know what's an A-plus and what's not when you haven't played a single down of football? But we've got a season of a sample size of these draft grades now. How did the Titans fare? How did The Athletic think that the 2023 draft for the Titans fared this past season? We'll get into that coming up next. We'll get into your thoughts as well. Caroline, Willie, DeMace, hey, tune into 94.9 The Fan today as Vanderbilt baseball takes on Missouri with pregame at 5:45 p.m. and first pitch at 6 p.m. Vanderbilt baseball brought to you by Smoky Mountain Tops, your countertop experts. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com.